Shall we die just a little, Mel?
Shall we die just a little?
Shall we die just a little?
Just a little.
And welcome back to Puffcast, your Harry Potter happy place. This is episode 53 on March 9th, 2022, and I am Melanie.
And I'm Juliana, and welcome to a continuation of our last podcast episode that we didn't realize was going to turn into a two-parter, but kind of did. Yeah, so we're recording this little portion after we just finished recording the episode itself. Listeners, we can say already that you're in for a wild ride, so strap in, it's gonna be a fun time.
With a big finish.
Yeah, there's a good finale at the end of this episode, so yeah. Stay tuned for that. But we're excited that you're here for this part two of our Fantastic Beasts discussion. If we have any news, we will input it here.
If not, then just enjoy our discussion about the second Fantastic Beasts movie.
We cannot wait to see you later! People be like, what the heck is going on?
Do-do-do-do-do-do! News! Hello, everyone, and welcome to...
That was a long, awkward pause. I thought I lost you for a moment.
That was for dramatic effects. So, welcome to the news, listeners. Today, we have some good news, some bad news, and some in-between news. We're going to start off at the top with some news that a lot of you already know about, and it is the war that is happening over in Ukraine. And we just wanted to say that we're sending all the love over to anyone who is affected by this, and we just want to make sure that you know that you're supported and loved, and we're sending you plenty of pop hugs. And anyone out there, like Mel or myself, who would like to help this situation, we have some great resources for you if you want to check out UNICEF, the Red Cross, Saving the Children, and Amnesty International, and there are other more resources out there. Those are some good ones that we can definitely stand behind. Mm-hmm. We will also say that this month, our Patreon donation went to help the people in Ukraine via Amnesty International, and thank you to patrons for helping us make that donation. So thank you everyone who is a patron of our podcast. And every little bit helps with this. You can also do something that I've done, which is buy a digital listing from someone who lives in Ukraine, and that money goes directly to them. There are a lot of people who are on Etsy who have like little digital pieces of art that you can buy that are, the money is going directly to them. Or our friends over at Heartwood Wands have a Ukraine donation wand that they've made that you can go and buy, and they will donate all the profits to one of the lovely funds that is going to help the people in Ukraine. So if you would like more resources on this or have any questions about anything we mentioned, just reach out to the pod and we'll hit you up and let you know what's up. So thank you to everyone who has donated, and pop hugs to anyone who is affected by this situation. In other news, we have news in the Fantastic Beasts world, and that is that on the Fantastic Beasts social media accounts, Wizarding Wednesdays are back. I did not know this was a thing. I didn't know they were back. I found out. Yeah, I didn't know they were back. But that gives fans of the United Kingdom and Ireland a chance to win some awesome prizes and also some once-in-a-lifetime experiences, such as a ticket to the premiere, the world premiere, of the Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore.
What?
Yeah. Too bad neither of us live in either of these countries.
Of course we wouldn't.
We can't even enter. Kind of a bummer.
Can you imagine something like this would happen in Finland? Oh no. My goodness.
Oh god, no. No, no, no. I have a much better chance here.
Not in 1,000,000,000,000 years.
No, no, no. Finland doesn't exist. But we also got from this release from the Wizarding World the exact world premiere date of The Secrets of Dumbledore, and that is going to take place in London on March 29th.
Which is so unfair, because that means 2 weeks at least. We have to be so careful to not be spoiled. I am not going to be spoiled, people. I'm telling you. I will come for you if you spoil it. If you spoil it for me, my badger claws come out and I'm gonna kick your butt.
Yeah, if you give Mel more than just, like, the trailer, she doesn't want... No.
The trailer is already so full of things.
I was gonna say, the trailer is probably too much for you.
Yes. I usually do not watch any trailers for stuff that I'm looking forward to. I don't even look at pictures of stuff I'm looking forward to. So if you spoil anything for me, I'm gonna come for you.
She will kill you. Mel's a vegan only until you spoil things, and then she comes
and
after
I
you.
Will shame you in this podcast.
Yeah. Well, I guess luckily for us, there probably won't be too many people that we know going to this world premiere, because you have to be pretty high up on the totem pole to even get tickets to this and be an invited guest. So hopefully there won't be too many spoilers out there.
I hope so.
So we'll just keep our ears and eyes closed, I guess, for those 2 weeks and just wait till we go and see the movie about 2 weeks later. But that's exciting. And along with this big prize, there are other prizes that you can win as part of the Wizarding Wednesdays. And that includes tickets to the Warner Brothers Studio Tour, a ticket to the Harry Potter Photographic Exhibition, and Platform 9 and 3 Quarters experiences, tickets to Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, a private screening of The Secrets of Dumbledore.
Ooh.
Not an early one, but a private one. That would be cool.
Be nice. Like in a theater or something on a big screen just for yourself? Wow.
Yeah, it says you and 20 of your family and friends. Wow.
20!
If someone in the UK or Ireland wins this, you can fly both Mel and I over to the theater. Of course, you are going to pay for the plane tickets, not us.
Naturally, and you would pay for this to have us precious guests on your
We are definitely on the waiting list for the world premiere for With Warner Brothers. I mean, come on, let's be real
here. Sure. Yes, of course we are.
But that would be so cool, though. I mean, definitely I am bummed that I don't live in either one of these countries and I'm not even in the running for this, but that's okay. Weirdly enough, one of the other things you can win is a trip to New York to see Harry Potter and the Cursed Child and visit the Harry Potter store. But again, not open to people in the U.S. to enter. So, whatevs. If anyone wins any of these prizes, let us know. If you make it to the world premiere, let us know. Take us with you. You know, we're here. We're waiting. Our inboxes are open. Popcastpod@gmail.com. Send it on over. I'd love a ticket. But Mel, we have something really exciting on your end that you got to do.
So yeah, I was one of those lucky people that was able to beta test the new upcoming mobile game Magic Awakened. I think we all were supposed to sign up for it by email and they would notify us when it would be open. I have signed up for it, never heard of it again, randomly saw an advertising for it and I checked the app store and I saw, oh, I can actually download it? Okay, let's see what happens. And yeah, I was able to play it. And there were actually four different, I would call them maybe servers, that were open for different places in the world. And I could only access the one specifically for Europe. I don't know if there are any differences between the gameplays. There was one for China. There was access for Singapore and South Korea. And I think maybe something else. I do not remember exactly. I did not see anything for the US. I heard from one person in the US that they have actually been able to play it for a short while, but no one else.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wasn't able to download the app. It wasn't available for me.
Yeah.
Maybe they were using like a VPN or something to place their phone somewhere else on a different server.
Maybe.
You could do that.
So I was able to access the Europe one, and I added in our doc for Juliana and for our Patreon listeners, I have added pictures, screenshots of the gameplay while I was playing, and you can look through it and see it a bit for yourself what it looks like. I think the graphics are absolutely beautiful. They look so nice. You're basically playing through a storyline and you have like conversations, interactions with other characters. Everything is animated so beautiful because you can actually build your own character, change the face, clothes, hair. You can choose between those things and make it a little bit more personalized. But the negative thing was that the gameplay itself, when walking around through the castle, for example, is a little bit challenging. I didn't quite like that so much, but otherwise it just went very smoothly. It looked very good. I think they're very close to finishing this up and taking just the last notes now that we have all given while testing. There is no official date yet when this full version will come out. Things that you can do here is that you are basically building up your character first. You are going to have a wand ceremony at Ollivander's. You are getting questions that you have to answer, and from that it will be determined what you get. For example, I got an elm wand, a unicorn hair, 9 3/4 inches, and supple flexibility, so a little bit different than what I originally have.
Yeah.
Still looking very nice. You will have a sorting ceremony also, where you will encounter the professors. Neville is one of the professors. Sprout is there. I added a picture of her as well. McGonagall is headmistress and is performing still the sorting ceremony as she always did. The sorting hat puts you in a house and you can say you like this house or you don't. So in the end, you can still kind of sort yourself into the house that you want to be in, that you most identify with. It was immediately sorting me into Hufflepuff and I was like, hell yeah, be in Hufflepuff. Furthermore, you can go on and explore your common room. You can walk around in the school, go to the library, take classes. You are learning spells with Flitwick, for example. We're having flashback scenes also from the time as Harry was in school. So the whole gameplay is actually happening after Harry has been there. We see how Harry is being sorted, how the school is being defended by the professors. What I forgot to say, actually, in the beginning, when you are getting your letter, you are going to the platform also, and you have to run through the wall, and you have to find the platform first. And since you are a Muggleborn, you have no clue where it is, so you don't have a Hagrid. So you are encountering grown-up Harry, and he's telling you where to go.
Aw, that's cute.
Which was a nice moment. There are sort of, her name is Cassandra Vole or Volley. How would you pronounce that?
I would say Vole.
Who is sort of
Draco.
Yeah, Draco Malfoy character. She pretty much has the same vibe and look on her face. So they have similarities happening there. You also have a slightly goofy friend that is reminding you a little bit of Luna. But you are going on small quests. You are trying to find potion ingredients. You duel beasts. There is, for example, a dragon you have to fight in the beginning. Then you have to fight a troll. You can duel other students. This is a sort of interactive platform. There is people from all around the world that you can befriend. You can chat with them. You can duel them. You collect money and points and cards. The cards have spells on them that you can later use in further dueling. So you are learning these spells. So there is, as you can probably already tell, and I see on your face, there is so much happening in this game that I was very overwhelmed.
Yeah.
The beautiful design definitely draws you in, but it takes you quite a bit of time to understand, where do I have to go? What do I need to do? There is a sort of logbook that shows you go to class, do your tasks for the day, and so on. But it's a lot. So I would wish that they would dial it down a little bit to, at least in the beginning, make it a little bit more easy on you when you come into the game and it's not immediately turning you off from the game. Because I have to say, I played maybe 3 or 4 days, a little bit here and there, and not much more. I think it was running for 1 month and it ended on the 28th of February. So it's right now all taken down, all deleted, and all the progress that I had will be deleted. So when this officially comes out, I will have to redo it from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You can still brew potions with the ingredients you collected and use that probably on tasks to go further and so on. There is so, so, so much to do. I'm curious to see what it looks like in the end.
Yeah.
How everyone else will feel about it. So that was my sort of summary of the game for now, but I guess we will possibly... Thank you for the applause. I think we will possibly talk about this a little bit more once the game officially comes out, and I think then we can all have a better idea. I think we will post some of the pictures for our listeners on Instagram and everywhere else, so that you can have a look at my character going through the game, fighting a dragon and that kind of stuff. They are quite nice.
Yeah, I remember when I initially found these trailers and I was like, no one knows what this game, because no one literally had any idea what the heck this game was.
Yeah.
And people were like, what are you looking at, Julianne? I was like, I found this on YouTube, isn't it beautiful? And it turns out it's actually a game that Mel got to test, and me and our friend Philo, who is the wandering Hufflepuff over on Instagram, he and I were just like thrilled because he lives in the US too, so neither of us could beta test it, but he posted something and I was like, oh my god, there's someone else who's actually like interested in this game and knows it exists and is like waiting for it to come out, because I personally am just so excited about the graphic style of this game. I think it's like freaking gorgeous. I love it.
It absolutely is. The only strange thing I feel like is when you look at the hands of the characters, their knuckles are so red. It looks like they have been in a fight, in a fist fight.
Oh yeah, they do have really red knuckles.
Why is that? It's throwing me off. Every time when I see it, I think, wow, did I just punch someone like hardcore into their face or something? Yeah. Because my hand looks so red and scraped, and that's a little bit strange. Choice of style.
It's all the magic pulsing through your hands into your wand, Mel.
Maybe. Just an additional note, you can also encounter even more, not just the professors, but you can, for example, meet George Weasley also in the wizarding shop.
Yeah.
In Wizard's Weezes. And I don't know if you can later on go through the store more and maybe purchase stuff also. I think they didn't open up everything fully yet.
Yeah, because it's just beta testing.
Yes, there might be even more to explore, and this could be a possibility of billions of hours for you to go through and feel really immersed in this world. It's really great. I love it.
Especially for like a mobile game too, and a game that's on your phone. This game seems very well fleshed out and almost seems like a game that should be on like PS2 or Xbox or something.
You know, I have to say, sometimes when you see preview trailers for games, the trailers look absolutely beautiful. But when you then come into the game...
Yeah, then you get to the game.
It just doesn't come even close. But this one absolutely does. It really... all the way through is just absolutely beautiful. They put so much work into this. It's really, really amazing.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I'm so excited. I love this graphic style. I love all the art that's part of this. And I'm ready to play this game whenever it comes out. So I'm on their email list. I will, as soon as they release the game, I'm going to go download it and start playing to people. So we'll share our usernames once we start playing that game. So that way you guys can friend us and we can go up against Miss Vole and just take it down or whatever we're doing. I don't know. I don't know exactly what the storyline is, but we'll have fun in the Hufflepuff common room regardless.
Yes.
But I'm glad that you got to experience that, Mel. So that's very exciting.
Yeah. So in regards of Fantastic Beasts 3, we have gotten new character posters recently. We got a new trailer from the US and a Japanese trailer with extra additional scenes that we haven't seen. So that's very exciting. Our very first thoughts to the US trailer, we actually did an Instagram live, which is up on our profile. So if you want to go watch that, please do so. And in the upcoming episode 54, we will actually record a full trailer analysis. But in this current episode that you are listening to right now, I just wanted to note that we are still talking about Fantastic Beasts 2. And we are talking about a couple of things that we actually get answered in the new trailer. So as you are listening to this right now, keep in mind, we didn't know yet that the trailer was out, what we are going to see in the trailer. For example, we get answers to Jacob's wand. There is some more information about the Manticore and the little crabby beasts that Juliana so desperately wants to be the Firebutt crab.
They are the Firebutt. I will not accept any, even if they are. They don't look like little mini Manticores. I'm very sorry they don't.
Nope, they don't. But just so when you continue listening to this episode now, keep that in mind. We are aware of it, but we recorded this episode before the trailer came out. Mm-hmm. So with the next episode, which comes next week, because we are firing out all these episodes in a row, You will hear all about the trailer and everything that we learned newly, and look forward to that. It's going to be really fun and a very long episode, I am sure.
Yeah.
Also, I want to add it here already. I will probably barely edit that episode because I just don't have time.
Yeah.
So excuse us for sounding a little bit raggedy, possibly.
It probably won't sound as bad as our first episode. Like, let's be real. No. Juliana did not do a good job on that episode.
Sound-wise, we're going to be great, but we will have a lot of ums and likes and little breaks in between that I usually cut out.
Yeah.
Maybe some rambling. Unless there's something bad, I will cut that out.
I think that we should put out a challenge to the listeners to count the number of likes that Juliana says within the episode.
Oh, God.
In the next upcoming episode, and let us know. I'm not going to fact check you, but I'll send you something if you give me that total and it sounds reasonable.
Yeah. Okay, so that was basically our feedback and news. Juliana, do you want to play us out?
Do-do-do-do-do-do. News. And now into the main discussion. Bye!
Bye! We are moving on to our second movie now, which is Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald.
Da, 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 da. Crimes. Lots of them.
I still wanted to give you the challenge of doing a 30 seconds, let's say a minute, summarizing this movie for us, Juliana, so we can go into more detail.
Oh god, this is gonna be wild.
Are you ready? One, two, three.
Grindelwald gets his tongue cut out, and then he's on a big giant thingy with crane pulled by Thrustles, and there's water! Ah! Okay, he escaped. And then we're back in New York City, I think, and then Queenie and Jacob. Queenie is, like, really just not doing the best job with Jacob because he is under a spell, and then she calls him crazy, and then she goes looking for Tina in Paris, and Tina cannot be found until she's with this guy, Yusuf, who we, like, didn't know, and he's French, and he also is looking for someone, and then there's some kind of curse that they have to break, and he's like, oh, do you heard about Tycho Dodonis? And they're like, oh, I don't know, and then Nicholas Flamel is like, hello, I'm an old man. And then they go to a tomb, and Lily Lestrange is like, I killed my brother. And then they're all very shocked. And then we get to Credence, and Credence is just like, who am I? And Grindelwald is like, I know who you are. Come to me, Credence. And Credence is like, ah, choices. And so then we get Grindelwald in the giant flame thingy, and then he kills people, and then Credence goes to him, and he's a Dumbledore.
There were a couple of screeches in there. I'm trying to fix them so it's not killing your ears, people, but that's just Juliana's voice, uncontrollably screechy when she gets excited.
I was trying, there's a lot that happens in this movie,
know.
And I was trying to condense it down to 1 minute. It's like kind of near impossible.
But you did a good job, I think.
I think I hit most of the high points, actually.
I would say so too.
We got to the end. We got that Credence is a Dumbledore. We learned that Yusuf Kama is French. We also learned that Nicholas Flamel is an old man. So I think we hit all the high points here.
Yeah. We will have a quick overall response to these movies. I think there are quite a few thoughts that Juliana has about this movie. Don't go in too much detail. We are going to talk more about it in a moment. But what's your first impression of the movie?
Oh, okay. My first impressions of this movie.
I mean, we touched on some of them already in the beginning. But
yeah.
Is there any particular things that you still want to add to it? Because we have some comments from our friends also.
This was a wild ride of a movie. It's kind of all over the place.
I agree to a certain level. Yeah.
It's got pretty colors in it. There's a lot of new characters.
I think it's much darker than the first movie.
Yeah, it is. The visuals are beautiful, and they really take advantage of using the, what is it called? The feature where you kind of fade out the corners of an image. There are some scenes where they really are just like, with the lighting, and I'm like, well, that was a choice that you made.
Okay. I guess I have to pay attention to it.
But I don't know. There are a lot of, like, very colorful beasts, I feel like, in this movie.
Yeah.
Just because we get the Kelpie at the beginning, and then we get the Zowu, and then we get some of the other, like, little multicolored Nipplers, and then we get some of the beasts at the circus, which has a lot of colors, and then we get the fire at the end, which is blue. So I feel like we get a good amount of pretty colors.
Yeah. Okay.
Overall, there's a lot that happens in this movie, and definitely is kind of a two-watcher if you're in my opinion.
Yeah, I would totally agree on that. There's so much happening in this movie and so many new characters being introduced. We have Nagini. Uh-huh. First of all, at all that this is Nagini is something I wish they didn't have said before the movie came out. They spoiled that for us.
I will say too, because I know that I just watched this last night. The lead in to the reveal that it's Nagini is like not the best. It's kind of just like we meet her and then all of a sudden Credence is like, Nagini. And we're all just like, wait, hold on. Wait, what's going on? What happened? We don't even know who this person is. Like, this is the first time we've met her and we're getting this big old like chunkaroo thrown at us right straight at the gate.
Which reminds me, there is this small hint that we had in the first movie where we see again the alleyway where Grindelgraves is walking along. There's a poster of the circus.
Circus McGurkus.
Circus Arcanus. It does actually advertise the Snake Woman. So there we have the first hint to Nagini. Of course, something we Potter fans love to do is looking at every tiny bit and figure out, like, is this important?
That's a pretty super niche thing to even, like, notice in the first movie.
But I remember that we actually talked about this back then. That there were these posters, that there was a circus poster, and if that could possibly be something we are going to see in the next movie, and then we did. Just no one would have come up with that the Snake Woman might actually be Nagini, which is actually making me now think of our other friend Ryan and his video and impression of Nagini, which is brilliant. So.
Oh, yes.
One of my favorite scenes ever that he has created on his TikToks.
I aspire to be part of one of Ryan's TikToks at some point and just be a really janky character from the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah.
Listeners, if you can think of a character that Juliana can play with a really, really, really homemade costume, let me know. Yeah, but Mel, did you have any overall thoughts that we haven't talked about before we get into what our friends said and whatever is going to come out of my mouth?
I think that it is actually a very interesting movie in the way that the more story, the more characters and all I can get, the better. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it was executed was maybe a little bit chaotic.
Yeah.
It could have been done better, but I still feel like I am interested about every single character and their story. And I hope that we still get more answers for all of them throughout the next three movies.
Yeah.
We are drifting more away from Newt and the gang and focusing more on Dumbledore and Grindelwald, which is absolutely an amazing story and I want to definitely see it, but
maybe as its own thing.
Yeah, we are talking here about fantastic beasts, magical beings, and Newt, and I would like to stick a little bit more to that for this particular franchise maybe, but I guess we will see what still happens. So yeah, overall, I think it's still a very enjoyable movie. There's just too many new characters, too many storylines at once, and we don't get all the answers, which I'm not expecting. Because we are only at movie 2, and some of the stuff has to just develop slowly, and we eventually will get our answers, I hope. But yeah, it was a little bit much all at once.
The first movie, I feel like, was a success, and they were like, oh, this was nice. And they went back to the writing room and were like, what ideas do people have? And they just, instead of powering it down to a usable and sizable number of ideas, they were just like, let's just try them all. And they just kind of did everything that came into their heads. It was a little bit much.
They have an end goal in their mind, and this is the setup for getting there. And at the moment, right now, it seems like it's a lot all at once. If we had this in a book, that would work, because we have more time to go into detail and describe these things. So when you compare this kind of storyline to a book, you have lots of different characters in there and different storylines developing there as well. Since we don't have that kind of book material and we only have a movie, that is where it becomes a problem to get it all in there and digest in a digestible manner.
So my friends, as you know, it's been a hot second and a half since Fantastic Beasts 2 came out.
It's so long ago.
Yeah, it's been a while. The hill that I will currently still die on is that these movies would be much better as books.
Yeah.
My analogy for it is looking over the water at New York City on a really cloudy, misty day.
You can see the outline of what's happening, and we're getting like a really rough outline of the actual really complex, well-organized and thought out and just multiple faceted thing that is happening behind the mist. But because the mist is there, it's kind of clouding it a little bit and making it so we can't get every single little detail. And that's kind of what the movie versus the book side of things would be, because we'd be able to flesh out all of New York City and move those clouds away and be able to see everything that's happening. I just think they need to be books.
To quote Ryan here, they're walking into a cloud and I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, pretty much. That's generally speaking exactly what's happening. Honestly, if someone else out there who is a fan fiction writer wants to write the actual backstories for this as a fully fleshed out book, I'll buy it from you. Do it.
So Mel, what did our friends have to say?
So Patrick wrote, I think the second movie is lacking something in regards to the story. Johnny Depp does a good job as Grindelwald, and it was great to see Hogwarts again. But I think it was a little weird that Dumbledore was teaching D.A.D.A. and McGonagall was not teaching at Hogwarts in the time of Fantastic Beasts 2.
Yeah, we do get a lot of fan service-y, canon-breaking moments that make, oh, mostly the Ravenclaws and everyone else very enraged.
I have to say that it's kind of nice to see little hints in these movies that remind us of Harry Potter. Just yeah. There's, I think some of them are really subtle and they are not bothering. It's more like, that's cute.
Yeah.
I quite enjoy that.
Well, even in the film scores, we get hints of the like Hogwarts theme and the Hedwig's theme that are intertwined into the newer themes that have been created by John Williams for these current two movies. And just that alone, I think, is really nice and just a little bit of a hint as to what our origins as Harry Potter fans are, for the most part, because let's be real here, most of us in this fandom who are watching these movies have come to it as Harry Potter fans already. We do have some friends who came to these movies because they didn't know what they were and just enjoyed the Fantastic Beasts movies, which kudos to them for that. But most of us have this level of nostalgia for the Harry Potter movies. Having that callback, I think, is nice in a way. I'm not someone who was mad about the McGonagall thing. I'm also someone who didn't know when the heck her birthday was anyway. So in my head, I was like, this is fine. You think I keep track of dates? I can't remember numbers to save my freaking life. Like, that's not my main priority. I got other things to think about.
Me neither, because it kind of works, because we see her and Dumbledore in the Harry Potter movies, they are looking pretty much the same similar age. Maybe Dumbledore is a little bit older, yes, but they're not that far off. And it doesn't feel really wrong that she is in these movies now at the same time as the younger Dumbledore. Then again, they have been screwing with the looks of people in the Harry Potter movies too, because they wanted to have Alan Rickman, and I'm glad they did, because he was brilliant as Snape.
Oh, yeah.
That's why they aged up everyone else also, or, you know, even though they were supposed to look much younger, but they really, really wanted him. I personally really don't mind. And seeing McGonagall as a young woman, I think is really great, because when do they gonna make more of these movies where they would have a chance to put her in as a young woman?
I think we just need a McGonagall origin story.
That would be great.
It would be great.
I would love that.
If you make fan fiction films, that's a great fan fiction film idea, friends. So go make the McGonagall origin story. Maybe get the girl who does the TikToks. What's her name? Chanel. Go get Chanel to do it for you.
Yes.
That'd be great. She'd be fabulous.
Yeah. And the more sassy McGonagall we can have, the better. I mean, really don't mind it. I do get it, though.
Yeah.
He gets into that later a little bit more when it comes to the timeline.
Yeah.
I know most people are annoyed by it. But then we still have one more.
Yeah, we got a response from our friend David again. And David said, I enjoyed this movie more the second time I watched it. At first, I had so many gripes. I can't list them all here. I'm holding out hope that The Secrets of Dumbledore makes Crimes a better movie in hindsight, as was hinted at shortly after Crimes came out by Dan Fogler. He compared Crimes of Grindelwald to The Empire Strikes Back with the original Star Wars trilogy. I'm hoping that we can get more secrets in Fantastic Beasts 3 than we did Crimes in Fantastic Beasts 2. And that, I can say, yes, David.
Yes, please.
What are the Crimes of Grindelwald besides killing that small boy and that other woman who technically wasn't even quite killed by himself, that was killed by one of his cronies?
Yeah, he's the type of guy who just gives the orders, kind of, and he's not making his own hands really dirty, so...
Yeah, what are his actual crimes?
His crime is being very charming and manipulative, I would say.
So that we would like to charge you with 5 attempts of being charming. Order in the court.
Not in a positive way, of course, but you know what I mean, that he's just so good with his words, and that's his crime, that he's using his great way about words to convince people to join his side and just do evil things. Yeah, I think the title was a little bit not fitting, so...
Yeah, we're just gonna have to wait and see. I have a feeling, David, that we will get more secrets than we did crimes. That is just my inkling.
This entire second movie is full of secrets.
Yeah, they haven't really given us any information except for that one trailer and a few screenshots, and that's like literally it.
If that continues in the next one, then whew, I mean, it gives us a lot to talk and speculate about, so I'm not complaining about that part.
Yeah, oh boy.
The biggest rampant in the room for this movie is, of course, Grindelwald himself and Johnny Depp and his portrayal of Grindelwald. I am having 2 Danish friends that have a question for us. And why don't you read the first?
Let's see. First question comes from Morton, who is at @descendant_of_Salazar. And Morton said, "What do you think about Mads Mikkelsen being Grindelwald? I think Johnny Depp did a really good job, but I'm looking forward to seeing a Dane as a main character in such a great movie. And Mads Mikkelsen usually does an amazing job as a bad guy." One of our friends, Patrick, said, "I can't wait to see Secrets of Dumbledore, especially Mads Mikkelsen as Grindelwald. Being Danish myself, I think this is awesome that a Dane is finally entering the wizarding world."
Yeah.
Our 2 friends here are very excited that a Danish actor is going to be playing Grindelwald, which I think is interesting because he's technically Austrian, if I'm correct. Not Mads Mikkelsen, Grindelwald. I understand that Mads is Danish.
Danish, yes.
Yeah.
Grindelwald himself is undetermined German, Austrian something. That's why we should call him Grindelwald.
Yeah. But you know what the interesting thing is in watching these movies, especially back to back, is that each actor pronounces his name differently. There are about half the cast pronounces it Grindelwald and half the cast pronounces it Grindelwald. It's not even consistent within the movie.
I think that has something to do with the English accents. If you have the British or, for example, the US one, the pronunciations are a little bit different.
I say Grindelwald, which is incorrect, probably.
The same thing is, though, with Voldemort also. We should not say Voldemort. We should say Voldemort.
That's never going to happen in my brain. I'm sorry.
We usually don't do that either because it's so in our heads. I usually don't either.
Nope. I can work on calling Grindelwald Grindelwald, but like, Voldemort is not that. Sorry, that's not a possibility in Juliana's brain matrix.
But the point being with these 2 here is that they are very excited that a Danish actor is, of course, on screen in such a big movie. And I completely agree. I actually really like him.
I like Mads Mikkelsen a lot, too.
He has played such great roles before that I'm very excited to actually see him play Grindelwald.
Grindelwald.
So I'm just as excited as you both for this to happen. And in the trailer itself, we have seen a little bit of him already. And I think he pulls it off. And it's really just a couple of seconds and he's already pulling you in. I think this is going to be really great.
Yeah, not that Johnny Depp did a bad job in any capacity.
No.
The only downfall of Johnny Depp is that the only character Johnny Depp knows how to play is Johnny Depp.
You know what? And this is why I wanted to talk about him here first in this discussion.
Yeah.
Because with Johnny Depp, we all know him.
Yeah.
And we all know him as very goofy, strange characters.
Jack Sparrow, essentially.
When you look at him in a movie, you think Johnny Depp. You don't see the character. So when I see him play Grindelwald, yes, he did a great job at it. But I see him.
Yeah.
Even though he is like changed up a little bit and so on, but that is exactly him. And when I now look at Mats, I'm just like,
that's Grindelwald. Yeah.
I can see Grindelwald.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Mel. And it just must be like the way that Johnny Depp portrays himself, because even with Newt Scamander and Eddie Redmayne, like Eddie Redmayne has played like a good variety of characters and he's a pretty well-known actor. But when you look at him in this movie, you're like, that is Newt Scamander.
Yeah.
And you're right. Exactly. When you look at Johnny Depp in this movie, you're like, that is Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp.
Not that is Grindelwald. I think a lot of it too is the fact that Johnny Depp isn't like the most faceted actor. He's not the most in depth at the number of characters that he can play. He's good at playing himself, which is the kind of goofy, weird guy kind of in his acting self. I'm sure in real life he's a lot more chill and just like cool, but...
Controversial.
I don't know him personally. Yeah, and controversial, but...
Cut.
So...
It is definitely going to be really interesting to see the different take now on Grindelwald, because if you're taking over from another actor a role that has a big important part in this story, it's challenging to take over, because are you to a certain level copying what the other person does but might not want to or can't? So he will have more of an own version of Grindelwald, I'm sure, and that's going to be really interesting to see what's the differences there. How quickly will we forget that someone else played him before? I think
pretty quickly.
I think it might happen very quickly, because just as I said, just in these couple of seconds I'm already like, you are great, I want to see you.
I think it's just that level of confidence that Mads Mikkelsen brings into any character that he plays, where, like, I am this character, and I see that in the other roles that he's played, too, where he is convinced that he is the character, and so we buy into it because he has such ownership in what's happening.
We have already heard news from the sets before, how people talk about him as a private person, you know, working with him, and what a good time they're having with him on set. It's just
nice.
Sounding like great chemistry, and that usually translates really great on the screen. Mats, if you ever listen, I think we are in love with you.
Come on the show.
Yeah. I have learned a couple Danish words lately, and I made a fool out of myself already by apparently saying, instead of saying that I am a bread, I said that I'm very muscular or something like that.
Oh, so okay.
I made myself already look stupid.
Like me saying, heave, heave, hiva.
Yep, that's just as stupid, Juliana.
Moi, mia olen Juliana. Hyvä, hyvä, hyvä. Kiitos.
Scandinavian languages are fun. Okay, one more regarding Grindelwald, Johnny Depp, and Mads. We have David saying, I was upset when Newt cast Revelio on Graves at the end of the movie to reveal Johnny Depp as Grindelwald. I'm a much bigger fan of Colin Farrell than I am of Johnny Depp. But more importantly, I just didn't feel that Depp was the right casting choice in general. He's fine as Captain Jack Sparrow, and he was magnificent in What's Eating Gilbert Grape and Benny and June. But he is hashtag not my Grindelwald.
I guess to that I will say, David, we've had three movies. We have three movies with three separate Grindelwalds. So honestly...
Yes, actually we do.
If you don't like the one you're looking at, you can find another one.
Oh, what's that movie where, I think it was with Heath Ledger, he was playing the main role, and when he died, several other actors had taken over the role. So every time you entered a different...
The Joker?
No. Ah, it was a magician. I have to find out. I will check later. It's maybe a little bit like that, that we have every movie, we have a different person playing that character. Just in that particular movie, I'm trying to find the title in my head. I think we even had Colin in that one.
Oh, wow. All these people are just good at playing different versions of the same character, I guess. Mel has to look it up.
I have to.
What movie was it, Mel?
The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus. Have you ever watched that?
Mm-mm.
So in this movie, Heath Ledger was playing the main character, but he had passed away. So to finish this movie, we actually had Johnny Depp, Jude Law, and Colin Farrell change into his character. So all three of them were in this movie. And, you know, Johnny Depp was the first transformation, Jude Law was the second one, and Colin Farrell the third transformation.
That's too bizarre, honestly.
Yes. It's kind of funny that we have every movie someone else playing Grindelwald. It's a little bit similar to that, just for a different reason.
Well, and the same actors are in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Bizarre.
Maybe Dumbledore is also Grindelwald. Who knows?
Oh, no. Plot twist.
Anything is possible in this universe nowadays.
I mean, honestly.
Things that we liked, didn't like. Where to start is the question. And that's, I thought we would have a bit of a problem here with going through this movie, because there's just so much happening.
Yeah, there's a lot that happens. Yeah. So, well, the beginning of the movie, we start out and they are trying to contain Grindelwald, and the prison is just like really dark and like nasty. They try and transport him in this janky carriage with thestrals, but it's just like, is that really the best way to transport this guy?
Apparently not.
Yeah, I mean, Serafina, she's made some questionable choices up until this point. Do we want her as the magical president? I mean, it's nice to have some people of color representation and some woman representation in power in the Harry Potter Wizarding World collection, but I mean, she could have just been a better character.
Honestly, I was really excited for her character.
Me too!
And they screwed her over so hard in the first movie. We actually haven't mentioned that.
They screwed up her wand, too! Can I just call out the Noble Collection here? Because there's a giant, huge rod all the way through the gem part of her wand in the Noble Collection wand. This is the expensive one, my friends. This is not the knockoff.
Yeah, so they could have given her a second chance to...
Oh, but they don't.
And she's barely in the movie, and it's just like, yeah, okay, you transfer this guy now, and then she's gone.
The writers don't do her any favors in this movie, which kind of sucks and makes me sad.
Yeah.
But after Grindelwald escapes, we head over to the Circus Arcanus, where we get the big reveal of who Nagini is, which I was literally just like, wait, well, hold on, what? Because I obviously, I've watched this movie before. I know who Nagini is. But just the way that they do it is just kind of jarring. And I was like, maybe we cut this scene differently.
What could have made it better?
It's just like the timing. It would have been easier to like to see her first and like see who her character was and then get the reveal of her name. Like see that she is a snake and be able to like see that transformation first and then hear her that her name is Nagini. I feel like that would have made more sense because we just see her as a human standing there. And you're just kind of like, hold on a second right now. Because there's no, like, visual connection between the way she looks and the name that she's being called by.
What always bothered me a little bit about that is that we get no explanation why and how Credence has ended up in this circus.
Yep.
The end of the first movie, we see he's being exploded by all the spells. Yeah, we see a tiny sliver going away and Newt seems to look at it, but in the end, when you come to the second movie, he still believes that he's dead. So that's kind of weird. There's a deleted scene where we see Credence going onto a boat, but we don't get any explanation. Why is he suddenly there again? Why is he alive? Why is he at the circus?
Yeah.
How did he get there? And why? And suddenly he's hanging out with Nagini that we are all like, okay, we didn't know she was actually a human and now we have to feel bad that she's being killed in the end by Neville. That's a lot to take in.
I feel like this movie does a very good job of skipping the whys and the connections between where people ended up when.
Yeah.
Because we just like get Grindelwald and then we jump to another thing and there's no actual transition into the next scene. It's more just chop, 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 chop. Each individual world is kind of existing on its own, but we're supposed to connect the dots as we go, but it's kind of hard. It's like if you have a connect the dots that is across multiple pages in a book. Like, you can do it. You can connect the dots, but it's just very challenging because you have to keep individually flipping the page to connect all the dots.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I feel like a lot of this is. And if they had written it a little bit better and edited it a little bit better, it could have been a pretty smooth movie.
I have a feeling that the author, who we shall not name, actually had a hand in insisting that this and this has to be in the movie.
Probably.
She writes the storyline, but she hasn't finished the storyline yet, but she has something in her head where she thinks it is important that they are there right now and that we do see the beginning of their story and that it all was crammed in there because in her mind it is going somewhere. It doesn't quite make fully sense to us though, and that is the frustrating part. So she probably was pushing that they would put it in there because it would make sense later. So I'm having hopes that we do understand it later, and when we look back to this movie, that we feel like, okay, now I get it.
Yeah, that's much more of a thing that works in books, though, as opposed to movies. It's fine to leave those little breadcrumb crumbs. With the movie specifically, and this is, I guess, just my personal opinion, it should be able to be self-contained on its own.
Yeah.
And the storyline, if you just watched it by itself, you should be able to enjoy the storyline as it is and not have to think, like, how does this apply to the movies that we don't know anything about coming forward? Which is fine when you're in a book series and you've specified already, like, hey, this is a series of 5 books and you know that there's going to be a resolution at the end of this series of 5 books. Whereas with a movie, it's much more important that you contain at least one comprehensible storyline inside of each individual movie. That is important in a book, but it's a lot more nuanced within a book, especially with this movie too, where they're trying to play up some of the fan service moments and bring in people who don't have as much of an in-depth Harry Potter knowledge as you and I do, Mel. And I could see why someone who doesn't have that background knowledge being excessively confused at this movie. If you don't know some of the Wizarding World mechanics, makes it really hard to understand the movie.
That's true. I mean, there's, I think, less the so-called fan service moments in the second one. In the first one, there was way more of them. But you are right with saying that, yeah, there are lots of things happening in these movies. You need to have already the basic knowledge of the Wizarding World to know how this stuff works and why it is like that.
And even just to enjoy the movie on a surface level, because I feel like the first movie, like even if you don't know anything about the Wizarding World, you can very much so enjoy that movie like as a movie by itself. And it's just like a pleasant time. But this one, you can't even really do that because it's so playing into some deep cuts in the Wizarding World that your average person wouldn't know about.
There's definitely lots of moments where you have more questions in your mind than you know what's happening.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure what storyline to follow.
Because there's so many.
For explaining here on the podcast what is happening, because you have the leader story that combines with Credence and with Karma also, which is kind of interesting, but where does that go? It kind of felt pointless because in the end, apparently he isn't even related to them. He wasn't the baby that was like drowning in the water or being saved or whatever, whichever way you want to see it.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the characters they brought into this movie were accessory characters that didn't even need to be there because the actual main plot line, they didn't do anything for it.
It's only adding to the confusion. Yep. I mean, for Credence, make him even more upset and angry and frustrated that then possibly pushes him to Grindelwald. That's the only explanation I can take from this, because in the end, it doesn't matter
who Yusuf Kama is, what happened to Nagini, that's kind of...
Yeah, and what happened with Leda and so on. It doesn't matter because he is not the person they are looking for.
Yeah. I would say in this movie, as long as they were able to get Credence to the end point of being with Grindelwald, then their goal is accomplished. And they could have done it in a much more straightforward way than they did. They didn't need Yusuf Kama. We don't need Nagini. The Circus Arcanus, we could live without it. We didn't need it.
Yeah.
We didn't need Nicholas Flamel, honestly. Like, it's nice to have a little cute old man, but we really didn't need him.
I mean, with Nicolas Flamel, I can still get it because I think there is something related to the story of Grindelwald and Dumbledore that is going to play part to it, because they had apparently their own secret thing happening, the secret group that is maybe the original Order of the Phoenix that we will still figure out. So I can kind of see why he was there.
Yeah, he wasn't like necessary to the plot line of Credence, though.
No, not necessarily, but he would be like a good starting point, you know, from where we are going to. I think with him, it's the easiest to see that it makes sense that he is there for the following movies.
Yeah.
Because he's probably playing a part in defeating Grindelwald. I see that, because we have then Eulalie Higgs. She will play a part in the next movie, and we have seen hints of that as well. So that makes sense to me. But the whole Karma and Leader thing is just
confusing.
It adds to the chaos for Credence. It upsets Newt and Theseus and bonds them together. Okay.
We could have done that another way, though.
That would have worked in another way as well.
Yeah, I definitely feel like that way, too. And even just on my rewatch yesterday, I got to the point where Yusuf Kama is explaining the prophecy, the part where we get, like, his mom, Leda, being born, and the whole baby switch scene that happens. And I was still, I've seen this movie so many times, Mel, and I've read the script, and I've dissected this with many people. I still was like, what the heck is going on? Why is this here? This makes no sense.
And this is why we so desperately need the next movie, to move on.
Yeah. And why it's been such a travesty that it's been so long since this is the last one.
Okay, let's focus on the good things.
Yeah, okay. So let's talk about some of our favorite moments, I guess, from our friends who wrote us in.
David is mentioning, he says, I absolutely loved the scene between Newt and Tina, where he was trying to tell her that her eyes looked like salamanders, but without actually saying it, I also quite enjoyed the Zowu.
Yeah. I think building off of that too, because I really enjoyed the moment between Newt and Tina too. It's very, very cute. I like the conversation that Newt and Jacob have about Newt thinking that Tina has salamander eyes and Jacob's like, don't tell her that.
And then she is absolutely thinking it's adorable. So that just shows us they're made for each other.
Yeah. And Newt's like, I can't say it. They told me I can't tell you what that your eyes look like salamander eyes.
Isn't it such a natural thing for Newt to do that and say that? Because that's just how he is and who he is. Getting that as a compliment from him, I think is, it might seem strange to someone, but I think Tina sees how special that is. I think that's his very unique way of giving a compliment, and it's just very cute.
Yeah, I like that scene a lot.
Yeah. So what else do we like about the story in this movie?
We get a good number of beasts in this movie that we haven't seen before, which is really nice.
Yeah, like the Kelpie.
Yeah, and the Zowu and the Fooper.
The Fooper we have seen.
Oh, not the Fooper. Sorry, the Augury. My bad. The Augury. Get the augury, and we get a lot more of some of the other beasts that we are familiar with already. We don't get my boy Dougal. He's not in this one. Sorry.
I think I also, even though it's a little bit strange, I still kind of like the way Queenie's story goes also, that one of the good ones is turned to the dark side because she's thriving for having this life with Jacob that is forbidden and fighting for what she wants her future to look like, which is very admirable, even though this is the wrong way to go about it. But I kind of enjoy seeing the struggle there and the drama that is being added basically to it. It makes it a little bit more interesting. You keep rooting for them, you know, because it kind of went very quickly. They fell in love very quickly in a matter of a day or so, which, okay, it can happen.
Fine. Movies.
But just we suddenly, like a couple months later when we come back in this movie to where everyone is at, that they are already like, okay, she put a spell on him.
I put a spell on you.
Again. Sorry, Kaylee.
Those are not the correct notes. I don't know what they are. I'm just making things up.
But you know, so much has happened in the time that we were not there, and it's only a couple of months. But
yeah,
in a way, we have missed out on their love story, like properly unfolding. But we are having it go into a direction where we can tell, okay, Queenie is so, so in love with him, and she really wants to have a life with him that she goes to such a length, even if it's the wrong way about it. That I'm very interested to see how it develops and how it turns out, even though one of them will die.
We get dark Queenie.
But just this corruption, you know, it's just so interesting to me that, and it's such a nice character as Queenie, who is just so elegant and sweet, and she's suddenly turning to this evil person.
I will say that that storyline also gets us the introduction of the character Rosier, who I love Rosier. I watch her, I'm like, oh, she's fancy.
But that is really because of the actress herself.
Yeah, it's the actress. It's Poppy. We love Poppy. She's great.
She's so beautiful.
Yeah, she's got like style and finesse about her, where you're just like, this woman is like a beautiful human being, and she just presents it. It's that French thing too, where you're like, French people are fancy.
Yes, Marjolaine, and so are you.
Yes, all French people are automatically fancy.
Yep. So there are definitely people in there and storylines that are very interesting to me. Yeah. And that's why I still enjoy watching this movie, even though there are clearly flaws in there. And one of the flaws Luke is actually pointing out is it does feel like the series wasn't planned as one whole story. More like they added onto the story with each iteration. It's one of the things the original series did so well. We'd get to the end and they'd tied up a loose end from the third book, etc.
Yeah, I feel like instead of tying up any loose ends, this second movie definitely unties literally anything it can get its hands on, which is a challenge. I think overall, Mel, you and I are coming to the conclusion that, one, this movie is definitely partially a hot mess. There is a lot of things happening. there were a lot of directorial and writing choices that were made that make it challenging for your average person to really just enjoy this movie on a baseline level. And you kind of have to have a good Harry Potter, at least base knowledge, to really appreciate and understand what's going on. It opened a lot of questions for us. We have mixed feelings about this movie. We like that it's another movie in the Harry Potter fandom. It's bringing people together, and we get pretty beasts and pretty pictures. But it would be nice if they had made this movie ever so slightly differently and cut out some of the characters that we don't need.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a good summary of how we kind of feel about this?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
We could go into even more details about each of the movies and scenes, but... I have to find time to edit this also.
Yeah, we can wrap it up here. Mel is a busy person. She does lots of things.
Yeah, only podcasting things, though, and work. Yeah, I think that as we are getting the new movie soon and we are going to talk even more about Fantastic Beasts, I think we can try to wrap it up a little bit, at least about the main discussion of the movies itself. We still have a comment here from Luke, if you want to read it.
Yes, and our last comment comes from our buddy Luke, and Luke said, I'm looking forward to the latest movie. I'm ready for some time at Hogwarts and to jump into the nostalgia visually. I think a lot of us are hungry for more of the Harry Potter series, so when we think of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them fandom, I think of diehard Harry Potter fans. And I think you're right, Luke. At this point, the people who are invested in the Fantastic Beasts movies are not casual viewers at this point, mostly because we waited so long for this next movie, and people who were casual viewers are like, what are Fantastic Beasts? I don't know.
Okay, we still need to pick an MVP of this second movie. What do you think?
I picked Jacob again. I just like Jacob. I like the comic relief. I just like him. He has little moments in this movie where I'm just like, I love you, Jacob. You're a good guy. I love Dan Fogler as Jacob, too. So two thumbs up for me for Jacob and Dan Fogler as a joint being.
Someone we haven't mentioned, I think, at all in this whole discussion is actually the Niffler.
Oh, boy, Bob!
I think I will choose the Niffler as my MVP because in the first one, he is chaotic.
To say the least.
Yeah. But in the second one, he's actually the hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he actually gets the necklace that holds the blood pact between Dumbledore and Grindelwald. I think that's a great deal, and you did very well. Now, I would like to actually end this discussion with a couple of Fantastic Beasts theories that we still have gotten from our friends that I would like to go through. We have one from Luke. No, that's more of a comment, actually. He's saying, I'm mostly just hoping it answers some of the questions we have from the first two movies and brings all the storylines together, which totally agree.
Yes, yes.
Patrick, he has actually several.
Oh, okay.
He says, I would love to see Tom Riddle, one of my favorite characters, who maybe even gets a visit from Grindelwald, and Rubius Hagrid as we are approaching them entering Hogwarts in this timeline of the movies.
Ooh, that would be cool. Just knowing what they've done with McGonagall already, I do not put this out of the realm of possibilities of things that they would do in these movies.
Would it be too much to see Tom Riddle?
I honestly, genuinely, Mel, if you want my honest full opinion, I think they're going to do it before the end of these the fifth movies.
I don't know.
I think they will.
I mean, yeah, it would be cool. I agree. And also to see young Hagrid would be cool. I'm not sure how likely it is to happen, but I think Juliana thinks it happens.
I think they're gonna do it.
Then he still continues to say, Dumbledore convinces Credence that Grindelwald is using him to hurt Dumbledore. And then, in his dying moments, Credence will see reason and destroy the blood pact for Dumbledore, setting up the forthcoming legendary duel between Dumbledore and Grindelwald. I think that sounds actually pretty plausible.
Yeah, that sounds plausible. I mean, we can see from the trailer that Credence is, he's a mad boy. He's not a happy fella.
No, but...
I mean, this whole time we've known him, he's never had like a real happy moment. I mean, even when he's sitting on the rooftop with Nagini, just kind of awkwardly cuddling, he's like, I want to know who I am.
Yeah.
And he's still not like happy. He's just kind of like...
Of course he's not. How is he supposed to be with the life that he had?
Yeah.
It was a crappy life. it's very hard to get out of that and find something that is making you happy. And if you don't even know who you are, what your identity is, how will you find a happy place if you are not even knowing the basis of yourself?
See, my headcanon now that I've just established in the last 20 seconds is that... is new development in Juliana's brain.
20 seconds. Okay, let me hear it.
You know how sometimes when parents adopt children and they really just like spoil the living heck out of them after they adopt them from a bad situation? My headcanon is that Nurmengard has a bowling alley and a trampoline park and a movie theater in the bottom of it. And Grindelwald is like, we have to keep him happy. We must keep him around. So I will be streaming movies. And we have as much popcorn as you want, Credence. You hang out down here in your little happy zone and we will get you as much popcorn as you want. I think that's what's happening.
Okay.
Grindelwald is the major manipulator. The best way to manipulate someone is to make them feel comfortable and make them feel happy and secure in where they are. So I think that that's a solid move.
Honestly, I think that's a plus point as to why he has Queenie also there. Not just for her own abilities, but...
There's a movie theater!
But for having her around and comforting him and being the soft-spoken voice that treats him nice and gives him proper hugs, you know, and feel cared for.
I imagine there's also a candy store at the bottom of Grindelwald's house, too.
It's a big place, I assume, so who knows?
I mean, it's a full castle.
It's a party castle.
It's a party, yeah, the bottom floor is the party castle.
There are no dungeons with prisoners. No, it's a party house in the basement.
There's a room that's a full bounce house. There's a disco room, there's a bounce house room, there's a bowling alley.
Okay, we have a couple more crazy ideas, or less crazy.
Really, do we? Yeah, probably less crazy.
Do you want to read the next one from David?
Sure. So David said, I'm really curious to see what's going to happen with all of the copies of Newt's suitcase. I wonder if they are all connected somehow, and if we'll have characters entering one suitcase only to emerge via the other suitcases.
Yeah.
That's something that you and I talked about, I believe, Mal, where we thought maybe the suitcases could be like port keys in a way.
Yeah, or at least hold something in it, you know?
Yeah.
To be a distraction and you don't know which one is the right suitcase. Or they are a device for, like, when we now think of the MCU and how everyone has one vial of the Pym particles and
The super serum.
They're transporting themselves through time. Everyone has a suitcase in this case and is able to
a little bit bulkier
go back to wherever else they have to go.
Interesting. And we also had another theory from David, who said, I really hope that it doesn't turn out that Jacob is secretly a wizard or a squib. I think it would be unforgivable fan service that would seriously undermine some of the greatest importance within the story. We are Jacob.
We are.
We are Jacob. He is a non-magical person, getting a front row experience of a secret magical world, and he's contributing despite having no magical abilities. It would lessen his impact as a character who can make a difference despite not being able to wield magic. And with this one, David, I fully agree. I really hope that that wand is just like a trick wand. I think it's a preloaded wand with some kind of thing that it does.
He mentioned that in his message as well. As I said, everyone has been sending long messages to me with even more ideas and thoughts. I couldn't include everything, but that's one of the things that he talked about as well. I absolutely agree with you. We have mentioned this many times before. We don't want Jacob to be a wizard.
No.
We really don't. Because he is us. As you say, we are Jacob.
Yeah.
We are living through him in this world. And having this kind of connection to a character is just so special. Seeing him getting through this adventure without being magical and still being valuable to this mission is just making it extra special to watch. And whatever that wand thing is, I hope it's not that he's magical. That would really ruin it for all of us.
It'd be really annoying if Jacob ended up being a squib or being able to utilize that wand properly like a regular wizard, because it does. It makes the whole Muggle storyline kind of negated, which is sad.
Yeah. Okay, so we still have three more theories from Ryan that we are going to listen to. We are going through them one by one and giving our comment to that. And we will start with the first one right now.
I have three theories, okay? I have a funny theory, a moderate theory, and a serious theory. The funny theory, I was on a post on Facebook, and one of the comments was this kid's theory. All of the Fantastic Residence movies are fabricated by Rita Skeeter. I love that. God, I hope that would be true. That would be amazing.
Okay. Well, that's a hot take that I haven't heard yet. So what happens? We get to the end of the movies and like a book closes, like, yeah. You know how in Cinderella at the beginning, like the book opens, we get like a book closure and then we just pan up and we get Rita being like, hee 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 hee.
This is just a retelling of Albus Dumbledore,
The Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore.
Yes, exactly that one.
That's pretty wild.
Whoever the kid was that came up with this theory, I love it. Now I kind of wish this would happen.
Yeah, that would be wild.
So yeah, we are right there with you, Ryan. We would love to see that. Okay, theory number two.
This theory, the moderate theory, is Queenie is actually Snape's grandmother. True story. I did do some research on this. And apparently, y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, but according to my research that I did, Queenie and Snape share an ability together. Like, they have the exact same, it's a rare skill, and that is they're capable of reading minds, correct? Now, my research that I did says in the Harry Potter and Fantastic Residence fandom, it is an ability passed through genetics. Now, that is a long shot, I know, but there is that connection there. So that's why I consider it moderate. There is some truth there, and I think that'd be really neat. Maybe she'll have the same kind of redemption arc that he had.
I don't think they share the same skill.
The first thing that immediately comes to both of our minds, I can see on your face as well, is that Queenie has the legitimacy. Yes, that one. She's born with that. So yes. It's similar to Tongs being able to morph into different, like change her hair color and
the
facial.
Metamorphagus,
yes. So that is something they are born with. And Snape, on the other hand, has just learned this ability. So he's not advanced to the level that Queenie is. Queenie, without using any magic spells or anything, she can just read your mind, while Snape actually has to use magic with his wand and access your mind to get it extracted. And it can still be blocked. I think you can also block Queenie from reading your mind. I think, at least.
I think it's canon that Tina has mostly, like, worked to do that.
In that way, it's the same, yes. But he has to actually physically use magic to access someone's mind, while Queenie can just do it. The theory doesn't hold up, unfortunately.
So, this is what I think. Queenie and Snape do not have any kind of lineage together.
Mm-hmm.
But I do see another source of lineage for Queenie. She is the descendant of Edward Cullen.
Oh no, what?
They both have the innate ability to read minds. Edward is clearly old enough to be her father.
He's a freaking vampire.
That's fine. She's also a magical being. No one has confirmed either way that Queenie is not or is a vampire. She looks very convincing to be a vampire in the next movie. I think that's the storyline. Did she look a little bit sparkly in that scene? She might
have. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Vampires don't sparkle.
Edward Cullen is the father of Queenie Goldstein. You heard it here, folks.
No.
I will be taking any checks written out to that theory at this address. Send them here when I'm correct.
So, as usual, Juliana is completely wrong. And unfortunately, Ryan, I think...
You have proof. You don't have any proof.
I have... There's logic, and the logic doesn't work. And unfortunately, Ryan, I have to say that your theory probably doesn't hold up, because that's not how the mind reading works.
My theory makes more sense.
Though interesting, I have to say, but I think that's not the case, unfortunately. But your last one, I am very excited about. And that one, I fully support.
A serious fan theory. Is this. Are you ready? I thought of this one myself. I didn't read this online. This is 100% Ryan. Geek Speak podcast. We are fully funding this. We got a whole campaign going right now that is shouting this from the rooftop so people know that when this happens in the movie, that we are the ones that originally thought of it. Okay? And here it is. Then in the third act, when the big climactic battle is happening, we've all read the battle in the original books of Harry Potter. There was some truth to that, but we see the real truth. And the real truth is this. A fourth member, a fourth party joins that battle, and it's a carrot. And the carrot is the most powerful wizard in the history of wizardry. And he puts all three of those wizards in place. He makes all of them understand that he is the head carrot. And the movie ends, and then the next movie is not Fantastic Residence. No, 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 no. It's Fantastic Carrot. Yeah, true story. And the carrot has a bow truckle, and they're best friends. Yeah. And the bow truckle has a wand, too. Okay? So anyway, this is going to happen. Okay? You can laugh, you can smirk, you can whatever. It's going to happen. So I don't know. That's what I got. Thank you for your time. Thanks for letting me do this. I hope I didn't bore you. And have a lovely, magnificent day. Carrot on.
Okay, first off, Mel, let's just say that...
Yes?
If this theory is okay, then Goderforth is 110% going to happen. I'm just...
Do you have any thoughts on this, Juliana?
I thought my theories were a little bit crazy. Where does this carrot even... Why is it a carrot? Like, why did we choose a carrot?
Because it's very carotic.
Yeah, I guess it's a carotic movie.
It's a very carotic, smatic...
Carotismatic. Mel is trying so hard to make a pun here. Well, I know Ryan is rooting for it. Haha, because it's a root vegetable, get it?
So many sprouting ideas.
So it's just sprouting out all the ideas. Ryan, I would just like to say, if you are correct, what is this carrot's name? What is the origin story of the carrot? How does it connect to the Goderforth storyline? Because if that storyline exists, Goderforth is 110% going to happen.
The name of the head carrot is Carrion.
Carrion?
Because Ryan is the head carrot.
Mm-hmm. He's the head carrot. Oh, okay. Yeah. So, okay. So Carrion the carrot is the head lead sorcerer.
Yes.
Of all things. And the fourth party in the battle between everyone. Okay.
I support this.
You know what? If yeah. anything, this mm-hmm. will be a very orange and colorful battle because...
Very juicy.
Very juicy. Lots of vitamin A. Lots of... Everyone will be able to see really well after this because if you get splattered with carrot blood, that means your vision is just perfect.
Yes. For the first time ever, I'm actually seeing Juliana in my position that I usually have. Failing a little bit for words and explanation and trying to wrap her head around the logic of the carrot.
I thought you were going to say for the first time I was going to see Juliana as the sane one in this situation that her theories really aren't that bad.
I'm fully supporting Ryan on this.
Oh, okay. I see how it is. We support if just because I am not a vegan melon. I tried to put you into my wand as a vegan wand. Just because I was going to kill you and put you in a wand, you decide that you don't want to fully support my theories, but you will support Ryan's theories. I don't know what death wishes he has for you. I haven't asked him yet.
He doesn't have death wishes. No, he doesn't have any death wishes for me.
Oh, no, he doesn't. He is an evil carrot. He talks to cows, Mel. You can't trust a man who talks to cows. I think I broke Mel.
Don't you bring Houdini into this. He's part of our carrot gang.
I'm trying to discredit his theory because my ridiculous theory is better. Did you know that the primary food source for the fire butt crab is the carrot?
Who says so? You?
I just made that up.
I think I just made her join the carrot team.
What's going to happen after the battle of Dumbledore and Grindelwald and the carrots and Ariana Dumbledore is that the great wizard carrot, Carrion, the greatest carrot wizard that there is out there,
Dumbledore and Grindelwald are going to destroy Ariana on accident first, because Corian would never do that.
No.
Then he will destroy Grindelwald and Dumbledore, and then enter the Firebutt Crabs, and the Firebutt Crabs are like, dinner time! And then they eat that, and then a major...
They eat what?
They eat Corian. And then have the guy, what's the name of the crab from Moana, who's like, shiny. We get the shiny guy, and that's how Moana happens.
Oh my god. You know, I was just about to say it makes sense that Corian would actually destroy Dumbledore because he hates Dumbledore.
Well, he has, it's competition.
Yeah.
Both Grindelwald and Dumbledore are just competition for Corian, but nothing is competition for a hungry firebutt crab that likes carrots.
I'd say that is a very...
You're looking for a pun, Mel. You can't think of one.
In my head, I have them all in there, but I don't know how to pronounce them.
Again, the firebutt crabs are the ones who are the victors in this situation. They
are in everything charge. Else is just carrotless.
Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't care less about any other theories.
Exactly, Mel.
Yeah, so.
Well, thank you, Ryan, for that lovely theory, and also
that just added another hour of recording on top.
Mel's gonna have so much fun editing this one. She is just gonna be like, wow.
I never thought it would be, because we were talking about two movies. This would take forever. I am most likely going to make two episodes out of it. You're welcome. You can choose to listen to both or none. If you have made it to this point, congratulations. I hope you're still alive. Have a carrot.
Have a carrot. We're handing them out. If people hit me up on Instagram, I will send you a picture of a carrot in the mail. Send me your address and say, I would like a carrot, and I will mail you a picture of a carrot that I will hand draw for you, my friends.
Yeah.
So, whew. You can get that as a reward. Wow, congratulations to all of you who have won yourself a carrot.
All right. I just want to say thank you to all of you who have sent in messages. My God, you really over-delivered. I love you all very much for that. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you to everyone.
That was great. So before we say goodbye, we are still going to send you over to Buttercup and her question of the week.
Hello, dear listeners. This week, I have a very special question for you.
Do you like carrots?
I suppose I do. Do you?
What is your take on carrots taking over the wizarding world?
I'm not quite sure what you're getting at. I thought that I am the one asking the question, though.
Are carrots a powerful vegetable?
That is a very philosophical question, Juliana, but I...
Tell us all about the magical abilities of magical carrots.
Oh, okay, stop, girls. What is going on? What is happening? Carrots? Why?
And send us carrot puns, please.
Yeah, send us all the carrot puns.
All right, I'll give up. I guess we want to have answers to all the important questions about carrots. So please send them in via our social media or an email at puffcastpot@carrot.com. gmail.com. Okay, goodbye.
Well, Mel, this has been a sprouting episode, and I know all of our listeners have been rooting for us to get to the end of this episode.
Yeah, we made it.
Yay!
Wow.
Okay, so listeners, thank you for listening today. If you would like to listen to any other episode of Puffcast, or give this episode a good old re-listen, you can listen to us on all platforms where podcasts are found. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram, at PuffcastPod. We are also over on Facebook, at facebook.com/Puffcast, and over on TikTok, very casually, at Puffcast. You can send us an email with any thoughts, feelings, any hot takes or theories that you have about either of the Fantastic Beasts movies, or the third one that is upcoming, at puffcastpod@gmail.com. You can also support us over on Patreon to get exclusive benefits like bloopers, access to our Facebook group, stickers, and so much more, and also help us contribute to our charity donation that we make each month. If you would like to leave us a rating and review, you can do so on Apple Podcasts, and we will read it here. Or if you'd just like to go leave us, hopefully, a 5-star rating over on Spotify, we would also very much so appreciate that. So, until next time, stay puffy!
And carrot on!
Yeah, until the fire butt crabs eat it.
Watch out, Karayan!
Ah!